Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this incredible Sunday. I tell you what, it has been so nice just to have a few days where we were not getting bombarded with snow, getting past what we were dealing with over the weekend, and then getting hit again on this week on Monday and Tuesday. But I tell you what, a little bit of rain, a little bit of snow showers yet today. But I tell you what, it's we got better weather coming, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we go on. But I want to bring you up to a few things just to get you plugged into Vital Ministries. First of all, we send Vital men and women's devotionals out 6 days a week on vitalministries.org. And would love for you to sign up. It's a great time to get an inspiration in the midst of your day about the different writers. We have five different writers on the men's side. Just some good stuff that's going on right where they're living, right where they're, how the inspiration of how the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. So I just encourage you to participate in that. You can sign up, and just some really, really good stuff about that as well. And then also, too, I just want to just encourage you too that as we got different events and stuff that goes on, you can sign up for that. That's also on the webpage. My wife also she writes for us at Vital Ministries 5 days a week. She does just a beautiful job. Just again, another opportunity for some inspiration for you to get plugged into. Also, to you guys, it's hard to believe that spring is. Yes, it will be on its way, but we got our motorcycle trip slated for May 31st through June 2nd. We are headed up. We're going to go ride the Mississippi. We'll make a decision on how the weather plays out, whether we'll go from the south to the north or from the north to the south. And you motorcycle enthusiasts out there, if you would like to participate, it's a great time as men. We get out in fellowship. We ride our motorcycles. Have a great time of just hanging out with each other and get some, and also too, we have some inspiration first thing off the bat in the morning before we take out. So I encourage you to participate and be part of that as well. So be praying about that. Think about how God may work with you on that. And then also too, one last thing, you know, ministries, it takes money to do ministry. And I don't ask very often, but I am going to ask this morning, if you would so feel inclined, the Holy Spirit would lead you, we would very much appreciate at vitalministries.org for a donation. It's like any other ministry. Yes, it takes money to make it happen. Even on the radio as you're listening, it takes money to do this as well. So if you are so inclined, you're benefiting from this ministry in whatever way it might be, I just encourage you. We have a donation on our vitalministries.org. You can go on there. There's actually, you can get that as well and donate right online, or you can send it to vitalministries.org. Our P.O. box is on that right here in Oskaloosa that you can get plugged in. So just encourage you to participate in that if the Holy Spirit so moves you. But this week we're going to step aside a little bit from the book of Mark, and we're going to go into the book of John just for one Sunday. And I think this will be helpful as I sense from the Holy Spirit that people are struggling with the winter itself, is with discouragement, and even to the point of depression. Yes, our state and our country has been hard hit by old man winter. You don't have to watch too much on the TV to see what's going on. We started off the first weekend of January with 50 degree weekend. It was incredible. And then we get hard hit with the cold, going from the polar vortex to ranking amongst the top 4 years of snowfall recorded in the past 100 plus years that they recorded precip and snow. It's amazing. But our first snow came in Oskaloosa with 18 inches of snow. Remember that when that snow came, and when they actually came down from the news media came down from Des Moines and just took a picture of our hard hit city with all the great snow amounts that we had. But folks, cabin fever truly has set in, but spring is coming. For us, it comes in March 20th, and if you do the math, we have about 25 days left and counting when we get the opportunity to see spring. We will soon see the robins returning, the farmers doing the field work, and baseball season will begin. You avid baseball players, and also to those that love the Cubs, it'll be a new season, a new rendering to start. But until then, keep your chin up and know that God the Father has all this, including the weather, under control. But this past week, our church, which is a central church right here in Oskaloosa, we took a mission trip over to Lakeview Camp, which is close to over to Tracy, Iowa. We went over there and helped and participated in a mission, a short-term mission project that was close. And we hung sheetrock all this past week, and we had a great time and great food from Glenda Gumont and Jan Van Beek. Man, those two ladies can cook. And two servant-hearted women. We also had many men from our church working alongside with Russ Plate. I don't know if you know Russ Plate. He's quite the man. Many of you have used him in the past as a contractor, and now he hauls pigs. But man, that guy knows how to work and hang sheetrock. He led the charge, and even some of the men took off a big portion, if not all their week, to hang sheetrock and to serve a group of people they would never see. But this, folks, gets your mind off the weather. Serving gets you out of the house, and also too gets you past and gets rid of that, what we call the cabin fever. We had a great time, and I encourage you, give Joe Brummel a call over there. He's in the leadership over to Lakeview Camp, and he would love to get you orchestrated and give you another opportunity. There's a lot of stuff that can be done, and they need many hands to participate to help that great mission. One of the things I asked Joe why he was there, how many kids attend the camps? And he says, we have over 1,000 kids, but he says we have the Angel Tree kids that come, and he says a third of those kids are kids that come from either their mother or father are incarcerated in prison, and that's a free will. They get to come to camp on nothing. It doesn't cost them a dime. And I think, what a mission, what a great opportunity to love on people. See, folks, Jesus taught his disciples to serve others just like he shows us even today. That's part of why we do, and we go do these incredible things. And he always leads with compassion, and that's why I believe that in John 10 is a good break for us to know that Jesus is the good shepherd, that he leads and protects his sheep. And we'll see that today, that Jesus knows our names is also too, as we know his voice. But let's first get a better understanding of what a shepherd was during the time of Jesus in those days. First of all, sheep are always subject to danger and must always be under watchful eye. You can't be hardly under watch sheep, and you could tell that exactly what I'm sharing with you this morning. But see, a shepherd is always watchful of, at times it says, when fast water would come over in Israel and when rain would come. I tell you what, folks, it comes hard and it comes fast. And the rain could literally take a sheep away and it would drown. It would leave the sheep fold and leave the group, and it would be taken away. And also, too, a shepherd had to be watchful of robbers and those who might come and steal in the night or just come and take their sheep. But another interesting portion of this, it comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 36. It says that how David killed a lion and a bear while defending his father's flock, the sheep. The shepherd was the protector in all seasons and all weather conditions. That was part of their job. I like this season. If you ever seen the movie The Patriot, where the Reverend is headed out to on the American Revolution. It's what a great movie. That's one of my top 10. I love that movie. And one of the congregants asked the pastor. He says, Reverend, where are you going? And I love the response of the Reverend. He says, a shepherd must tend his flock and at times fight back the wolves. I love that description of a shepherd, the protector. Jesus is the same way, the shepherd instilled the protection. But let's jump into John 10 this morning and read God's word for us as we get a little bit of an understanding of what Jesus was talking about, what it meant to be the good shepherd. But let me set the stage for you this morning. You have to look a little bit in chapter 9 before you can get the stage of chapter 10. They link with each other. They create this moment. And John, if you look in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man, and he couldn't see. He was blind from childbirth, and Jesus is walking along with his disciples, and Jesus sees the man, and the disciples ask Jesus, why was the man blind? Was it because of his own sins or because of the sins of his parents? And Jesus said neither. It was so the power of God could be seen. I find that interesting just in itself, but God wanted to show his majesty through the blindness of this man. So Jesus, full of compassion, being the good shepherd, he stoops down on the ground and he spits in the dirt and makes some mud. Sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? But that's exactly what he did. And then he spread the mud over the blind man's eyes and then told him to go wash his eyes at the pool of Siloam. So the man does what Jesus tells him, and he comes back seeing, and the blind man goes out and he tells everyone he meets. He says, I can see. Can you see the moment of how it must have been? Just the joy of, for the first time, being able to see life itself as opposed to just experiencing it through hearing. Wouldn't we all do the same? And just recently, I had a friend of mine who has had prostate cancer, and I got a he has that bad form of that cancer, or of a progressing cancer. It was moving at a rapid rate. And he texted me this past Thursday night, and he says, I got to praise be to God, Mike. I'm cancer free. He said, he wrote the doctor. He said the doctor went in to get the observation about what was going on and take next steps, but the doctors absolutely couldn't understand it. He says, you have an aggressive cancer. And the doctor just, he looked at the reports and double-checked the results. And matter of fact, he goes and shows his other friends, his doctors, his colleagues, shows them the report and what was going on. He said they couldn't believe it. They couldn't explain it. And my friend said that he looked at his wife, and he says, we have the answer for that. It was an answer to their prayer. See, the folks up to the church, and my good friend, he's on staff up there. He's the guy that takes care of the buildings and ground, and man, he's a man amongst men. And he said he and his wife been praying, the church has been praying, and he said, Mike, I've been healed, praise God. And folks, I don't know why God heals one and why he doesn't another, but he healed my friend. And because I believe so much that God is just and who he is on either side of how it goes out, he is still the good shepherd. And many times it's a mystery, but it's much like the blind man. But I believe this, folks, that my good friend of mine was healed because of the power of God could be seen, and he would go and share the good news of what Jesus is, that he truly is a good shepherd. But a problem happens in the story as the man who is the blind man. We have the naysayers, the blind guides. They show up. They're called the Pharisees, and they say the right things, but they truly live another life. They can condemn Jesus for healing the blind man, and you won't believe this, folks, on the Sabbath, that he can even put mud in a man's eyes, and that was considered work. And I think that the whole story, I think, are you kidding me, really? We can get all of that out of tradition sometimes in our own lives. I can remember growing up in a church listening to, we were told that you couldn't listen to rock music, couldn't go to movies, they were wrong, couldn't go to dances, they were wrong. I didn't even go to my senior dance because of the religious traditions that were done and placed on our hearts, and that's just how it was in those days. And folks, there's nothing, as I look back in my life, there was nothing more, it wasn't tradition, it was simply bondage. And that's what the Pharisees did. It was all about rules, so that the Pharisees would question man. They literally interrogated him, asked him who Jesus was, and they asked if he was really blind. Can you believe that? Asking this blind man, were you really blind? They even went to, after the blind man's parents, asking the same question, was your son really blind? So they even made this statement to the men that anyone saying that Jesus was the Messiah, that he would get expelled from synagogue. Better said, get kicked out of church. They told the man that God should not get the glory, not Jesus, that God should get the glory, and that this Jesus is a sinner. These are the Pharisees saying that. The Pharisees didn't want to hear or believe the blind man's story. So they tell the blind man that he was born a total sinner, and they argued with him and with the blind man, and that the blind man actually started trying to teach them about Jesus. So I find it interesting. So what do? They throw him out of synagogue. It said in John 9, 35 through 41, that Jesus sought out the man. And as the man, he said, he asked the man, do you believe in the Son of God? The man asked, who is he? I want to believe. And Jesus says, you have seen him. He is speaking to you right now. The man shouts, yes, Lord, I believe. This sets up the next story, the next portion of where we're headed at in John chapter 10 about Jesus being the good shepherd and how Jesus is shows in the illustration how Jesus is the gate. He is the door. He is the gatekeeper. So if you got your Bibles this morning, if you're home, we're going to open up to John chapter 10. If you're traveling down the highway on however road you're going, I just encourage you, keep your eyes on the road. We're going to get you some really good things. And maybe today you're headed on your way to church and you have just tuned us in. I want to thank you for doing that this morning. But we have got some good stuff. So stay with me, starting with John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. This is red letter words. These are words that Jesus is speaking. And he says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After he gathers his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they won't know his voice. See, here's something important. Jesus hits hard in verse 1. He goes right after, in greater detail in the discussion, but he comes right after the Pharisees, and he also talks about the sheepfold, that in order to go to the sheep, you have to go through the gate first. You can't climb over the side or try to get the sheep to follow you another direction. No, you have to go through the gate. But see, folks, Jesus is the gatekeeper. No one leaves or enters unless he says so. Jesus is the gatekeeper. He is the door to our salvation. He is the door, the gatekeeper to who we are in him. He is the door or the gatekeeper to your peace. He is the door or the gatekeeper to the grace that he gives you, folks. Do you get a glimpse about what this is, about what he's trying to say? This is, I think of it this way. Think about the front door of your own house. Generally speaking, everybody has this front door, and in the front door, there's a deadbolt and another lock knob that's underneath it for having better security. Anyone who enters the front door has to go through the front door, upon your approval. Here's something interesting. You will always let your kids in the front door, right? They will come in, they will enter, they don't have to push the buzzer, the doorbell, or anything. They can go in and out. And I can remember many times in my own family with my mom and going in and out of the front door, and she'd be hollering at me, kids, shut that door. You're going to let the flies in, or you're going to let the dog in, or whatever it might be. But she was the gatekeeper. She was the one who knew to go, who was going in and out the front door. And see, she had control, and she had the things of what was going inside. And nobody could enter the door unless the door was open to them. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, I am the gatekeeper. No one can enter the door to the sheepfold, enter to what God is calling amongst us of coming into his group of sheep unless he opens the door. But I got three short points for us this morning I want to jump into, and some really good stuff. And my first point this morning, if you're writing it down, comes from this. I am the good shepherd. And we're going to continue reading verses 6 through 13. And this is what it says. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So what does Jesus do? He explains it. He says this. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers. See, he's directly talking to the Pharisees here. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. Isn't that great, folks, when you think about all those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them rich and everlasting life. I want to hold here just for a minute. See, Jesus is talking about salvation here. And when he talks about salvation, he is saying those who know to come into the sheepfold know. And the Father has told him who they are. But he also goes on, he hits the Pharisees about this. He says, Pharisees, the thief's purpose, this is your purpose, is to come steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give you everlasting life. Doesn't the enemy do that? Doesn't the enemy want to come and kill, steal, and destroy your life? And does everything he can, and the best way that he can, he comes after Jesus, or comes after God the Father, is by going after his sheep. But I love verse 11. It says this. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. See, folks, that's so important. And I think about this as being a pastor of our own church at Central Reformed here in Oskaloosa, is that that's part of our of what we do. God has called us to tend his sheep, that yes, Jesus is the gatekeeper. None of us can save the sheep. Only Jesus can. But God has called those that who pastor a church to guard their sheep, not to hurt their sheep, not to destroy them, not to get them away. And I think it's so important, folks, that we listen to what it means, that it's so important for you to be a part of a church to where the pastor is really the one who is loving on his people, loving on his folks. And there's so many good pastors around and do incredible job, and that's what they do. And they're not ones that are beating on the sheep. And I think that's so important for us today to realize that Jesus truly is the good shepherd. He loves us so much that he even says in this portion of scripture that he's later on going to lay down his life. See, Jesus is talking about this because this is the last place before he goes to Jerusalem. He knows when he goes to Jerusalem, this is the last time he no longer will return to Sea of Galilee. He is going voluntarily to give his life because he's the good shepherd. He loves his sheep. Folks, hear me on this morning. He loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. He went to a cross. He abandoned all his rights so that we might have salvation through him. He is the doorkeeper. But I want to let's keep going this morning, because point number two is this: I know my sheep. And let's continue reading through the verses 14 through 15. Jesus says again, he gives four I am statements in this portion of scripture. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. See, Jesus knows you. He knows you by name. He knows who you are. He knew you before the foundations of the earth ever were. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that, at the same time, doesn't that give you security? You know, I think so much this past week, I had an opportunity this last weekend. I was out to Colorado Springs, and I was able to be with my daughter and her husband and my three grandkids. And it was so much fun and such a good time. And I felt, at the same time, I felt the responsibility because of my daughter. I was once her caretaker. I was the once a time that I watched over her. And now that's the responsibility of her husband. And I was watching her as she was gathering around her three children and just the newest one that was just 2 months old. And how she loves on her children. And you don't have to question once about them knowing their mom's voice or knowing their dad's voice. They know it. They don't even have to see them. They know them. And he hears, and my daughter just loves her kids well. And that's what Jesus does. He loves us in such a way that he knows our sheep. He knows when we're in pain. He knows our struggles. He knows when you are going through hard times. Just like my friend who had prostate cancer, he knew that he would go through a difficult time, but Jesus promises to be there at the time. Yes, he was healed, but I think the same thing for some of you who have lost children. Yes, what a heart pain that must be. But I think so much, folks, that he is the good shepherd, and he's going to be watchful over you, and he has your kids, that they're in the sheepfold, that they are truly with him now. But this moves me to our last point this morning is point number three, is that they know my name. And we're going to continue reading this morning, starting with verse 17. It says, the Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so that may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have authority to lay down my life, and I want to also take it up again. See, here's the other important thing as part of the sheepfold, as we look at that, that Jesus is talking about. Not only are the sheep are the people who are from the Jewish people, but also to the Gentiles. The Gentile people also, that's us, that we have entered in, and that we know him by name. And I love that portion of scripture, that Jesus knows us. He knows who we are. And oftentimes I've heard different people share with me in different circumstances, they've actually heard their name spoken by the Holy Spirit speaking out to them. See, folks, I believe with all this within in me that not only Jesus is the good shepherd, that Jesus knows his sheep, and he also knows us by name. And when he knows us by name, we also know his voice. Folks, do you know the voice of Jesus? Have you entered into the sheepfold? Have you, because I guarantee you, folks, the Holy Spirit is calling out to you to be part of the sheepfold of having having Jesus Christ be the good shepherd of your life. If you haven't done that, today would be an awesome day to do that, to ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, that he is the good shepherd. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants to take you in and pull you in to the sheepfold itself. If you would this morning, would you please pray with me? Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for another day, another opportunity to we can come and open up the Bible and read the words that you spoke. That yes, that you are a good, good Father. And you love us so much, like the song says in Restless Love, that you will leave the 99 to rescue the one. That's the kind of God that you are. And Lord, today, I believe there's the one that's out there today that's listening, that's hearing this spoken on the radio this morning, Lord. I just pray that they call out to you. They ask you, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, Lord, I have made mistakes, but I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. That I believe by faith, like the blind man, that yes, you were the Messiah, and yes, that you are coming again. And we can believe by faith, Lord, that we want to enter in. Will you take me, Lord, as I am, who I am as a person? And I believe by faith, Jesus, that you came and gave your life for me because you loved me so much. Lord, I just thank you. I pray that somebody who has prayed that prayer with me this morning might trust you and know you by name, and that you're truly the good, good Father. And we praise you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I want to thank you again. We're going to get back into Mark next week in the book of Mark. But I pray that it was a word of an encouragement to you today that yes, that Jesus truly is the good, good Father, and that he loves you right where you are. Folks, I want to thank you for listening today. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.